For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Well, it's game week. I know there's a lot of folks out there planning their party, a little tailgate party. You got to get out there early now. It's a noon game.
Anybody going to Indy?
Anybody going? Yeah. If you're going to Indy, get out there early. It's a noon game.
Right now.
Hey, if you're tailgating around these parts, I guess it's not tailgating, it's watch partying, right? Get your watch party right. You enjoy tailgating more or watch partying more? I mean, I ain't talking about the house with your feet up. I'm talking about.
I'm a tailgater.
You're a real tailgater. Like, real, get your grill out, get in that heat.
Some sort of a game.
You prefer a cold, wet towel when you're cooking at the grilling.
Maybe a little beer pong, a little flip cup, some action, bags.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, what about you? I'm talking like really, really, really good watch party.
Yeah.
Or a really, really, really good tailgate. Which one you jam?
If I'm picking one, I'm tailgate all the way.
I like to get to a place where I got to get serious about the walk.
Yeah.
Like, I got to get I've had so much of a good time. I got to get real serious about this walk.
Yeah.
Where I sober up on the walk.
Well, then we got some similar problems. My only problem with tailgating is I feel like I'm in a hurry. And that doesn't always work out.
You don't give yourself enough time.
Well, no, I got plenty of time. I mean, even when I show up, because my group at Arkansas, when I go up there, the tailgate's absolutely ridiculous. And I show up really, like, early enough to do everything I need and some.
You need to get done.
But I drink and party, and I'm excited like I've got 30 minutes. And I've really got 3.5-4 hours.
You can't stop. You can't slow yourself down.
Oh no! Then the next thing you know, we ain't even kicked yet, and I'm dancing in the suite. I'm talking trash in the streets.
You made it in the suite. Yeah, I'm to a point where, you know, it's like, hey, I need to get this last burger or hot dog on the walk.
Yeah,
with the water.
Nonetheless, this week it's Texans watch parties. It's gonna be rocking and rolling. I know a lot of folks out there planning those watch parties, and I'm here for it. We got to have some kind of competition. I don't know how you do that. I mean, maybe top video posted on Sports Radio 610. Watch party wins a little something. We got to figure that out, man. Get some activity rolling on the social, man. That would be big time. Figgy Fig, I know you've already got the HEB tailgaters of the game kind of deal going on at home games. How about away games? It's a watch party of the game or something like that. I'm full of great ideas, right? The follow-up is what I struggle with. Nonetheless, it is game week. Yesterday, we had D'Amico Ryans talking to the media on game week. And now, this morning, again, as I told y'all, Payne and Pendergast was on. Nick Caserio was on this morning with Payne and Pendergast.
Pendergast and Payne.
It was absolutely tremendous. I'm going back through listening to it, and I ain't joking. Tyler, hell of a job with the cuts. We can make 42 segments out of this. In fact, you'll probably hear about 12 of them over the next 4 days. Absolutely tremendous. And I hate to do this, Sean and Seth. And Nick, if I talk to you more regularly, Nick, I would apologize to you as well.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Don't thank me yet, Nick. I've got to wholeheartedly disagree with Nick Caserio on something, Ron. I'm gonna let the folks hear it first, and then because I feel pretty good about. Like, I think Nick at first when I saw Nick, I'd say Nick, I just disagree with you on this point. I think he'd flare up a little bit. And then I think if he'd just hear me out, I think he'd say, you know, okay. I think he would still disagree with me, but I think he would at least see where I'm coming from on this deal. Here's Nick Caserio talking about the thought, and it's not. The question is about C.J. Stroud, but he goes into overall players, but the thought that this year might be a little bit different given the fact that the league now has a significant amount of film on Bobby Slowick and specifically here, CJ Stroud.
Yeah, that's probably more of an off-season discussion. I mean, I think that's kind of a, you know, funny topic that everybody resorts to. And then if a player, for some reason, doesn't have a good year, it's, well, that's it's because why. Of the sophomore slump. Yeah. Well, I mean, the reality is you either play good football or you don't. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but that's the reality of it. So there's things that you can work on in the off-season. I think our offensive staff, Bobby, you know, Bill Lazor, you know, Gerard. I mean, they've done a great job spending time and just kind of figuring out, all right, what are some of the things that we do well? What are some of the things that CJ does well? You know, how do we put the offense in a position? And then who's the opponent? And each week there's going to be different challenges. The Colts are going to present certain challenges. You know, once we get to Chicago, they're going to present other challenges. So this league is a week-to-week endeavor, and you have to approach it that way.
I just wholeheartedly disagree with the thought that, you know, folks having film on CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick.
I just feel like we've seen it. Some of the best.
Yeah, yeah. I just hit that.
Look, that first year where Lamar won his MVP, the next year Lamar struggled. It took him a couple of years with Mahomes, but remember there was an adjustment made probably year three or so with Mahomes where they just put everybody deep and said, we're just not going to let you beat us over the top and we're going to force you to have to do this.
Yeah.
And it took them a minute to get it together. We've seen it happen.
Yeah, it definitely happens. I mean, it's part of the game without a doubt. And I think more specifically, Ron, to C.J. Stroud, if you look at how C.J. Stroud had success last year and how really Bobby Slowick had success last year, I will be shocked if defenses, especially the better defenses, which there's a lot of them on this schedule, I would be shocked if those defenses don't adjust. And when I say adjust, if you look at C.J. Stroud's rookie year, to me, what really stood out, yes, I mean, the yardage per game and the interception, the low number of interceptions, leading the league in fewest interceptions, to be honest, those two stats get a lot of conversation. But the reality of it is, if you look, he knew exactly where to go with the ball, and there was always somebody available right now, whether they were overcoming wide receivers being out or they were overcoming offensive linemen being out, or if they just said, hey, this is how you got to play the game in a very Brady-like way. This is how we've got to play the game right now, given our weapons. It seemed like teams were okay with forcing C.J. Stroud to take the quick, easy, boring throws underneath. They were going to rally up and make the tackle. At least that was the plan, right? And given the weapons that C.J. Stroud has now, given the film that's out there right now of last year where C.J. Stroud was, again, Brady-level committed to taking the boring stuff, I think teams are convinced, like, okay, he is going to nickel and dime us to death if we let him. We have got to mix coverages up. We got to disguise coverages. We've got to get in the face of these receivers. We've got to do, even if it means taking some risk of him throwing it over the top, we've got to get down and cause some problems at the line of scrimmage for these wide receivers and really for this quarterback. I will be shocked, Ron, if we don't see. That's really what Baltimore ended up doing last year in the playoff game. I will be shocked if we don't see the majority of teams really, really clamp down on the underneath stuff and not give him the easy throws, just from what the film that they've watched and his level of commitment to doing so.
And listen, CJ and Bobby, clearly year one are bright individuals, especially when it comes to football and running offenses and reading defenses. So it's not to say that these things are going to work, right? Lamar and Mahomes are the two examples that I gave. They've eventually, this is happening to Herbert right now, they've eventually figured it out. So I'm not saying that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, not saying that this is just going to work. Uh-oh, they're going to be screwed because the great ones eventually figured it out. But at least to say, oh, they're going to change things up. And there's going to be something. They're going to try to force him to have to do it differently rather than to just sit back there and let him kind of do what he did last year. They're going to change things up with 17 plus games of film to watch you. they're going to change things up. Not say it's going to work, but it's going to at least look different for Bobby and CJ, the picture they're being painted.
Well, look, all the guys that Nick mentioned in that cut, I mean, if Gerard Johnson and Bobby Slowick and CJ Stroud are as good as we think they are, yeah, they'll adjust, and their identity is getting the ball out on time, in rhythm, and making something happen. They'll adjust and hopefully still get a lot of that. I don't think it's going to be blatantly obvious against the Colts week one. It could be because the Colts are a 10-win team with a backup quarterback, by the way. They are pretty good. They are pretty damn good defense. So, I mean, it could rear its head the first week. I just think in situational football, in games that the defenses are more confident and the defenses are better equipped, I think you're going to see that approach versus just letting him. The other guy on this offense that I think is going to feel it, we've talked about it multiple times, is Nico Collins. If you go back and look last year, a lot of what Nico Collins, a lot of the work he did was underneath soft coverage, catching the ball, and then he's extremely hard to tackle. I think the approach this year is going to be, again, for the teams that can do it. Now, if you got a duck at corner, your ass better not walk up on Nico. But I think the good teams in this league are going to say, I'm going to get in your jersey with you every damn snap. You're not going to catch five-yard routes. You're not going to catch screens. I'm not going to let you get started. If you catch a ball over my head, then so be it. It's a low-percentage throw, and it took you forever
which
to get there.
Which he can do.
Yeah, which he can do. Now, that I think you're going to see more of defenses say, if you can get over my head, fine, but I'm not going to give you the cheap, easy stuff underneath because, one, your quarterback's really good at taking it, and, two, you're hard as hell to tackle once you get a head of steam rolling. So I think C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick are one that the film is out there. Yeah, they're going just. And then Nico Collins is another one where I'm going to force you to catch 50-50 balls. I'm going to force you to catch go routes and beat me in man situations. Take the time to set me up with outside releases. Take the time to run me up. You're gonna have to, at the very least, take some time beating me if and when you do beat me. I don't know if it's going to work because these guys are pretty damn good, but I got to believe the film from last year is going to have Gus Bradley and company adjusting, not just a little bit. I think they're going to adjust in a major way.
Yeah, they're going to do something different with C.J. Stroud. But they, like you say, Gus Bradley's got two games that he's played against him in, and film of other games. They're going to adjust, and the league will too.
Ron, there's we talked a little bit yesterday about Anthony Richardson and about Jonathan Taylor. I'm gonna flip to the other side of the ball because I do think that the Colts defense is gonna adjust to the Texans offense. We talked yesterday a little bit about Jonathan Taylor and about Anthony Richardson and about that. Those two, because I want to pose this question to you. Those two guys are really a two-headed monster. But let's look at them separately right now, Ron. We watched a game last year, although it was only one quarter of football, where Anthony Richardson, I think he had 35 yards rushing, 33 were untouched, and two of them were for touchdowns. You know? Yeah. So he was unbelievably impressive. Look, I think the Texans are going to have a better plan for that than what they did last year. I think the Texans are going to play more discipline out of the gate than what they did last year. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. But just the Anthony Richardson ability to impact a game, Ron, on not just his legs, but all of it, the whole Anthony Richardson package, versus the Taylor ability to impact a game in the run game. If you could pick one of those to say, hey, they got off, but yet it doesn't really concern me for the Texans, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, if one of those guys, if Anthony Richardson got off, made some big plays or whatever, or if Jonathan Taylor was able to get off in a run game, which one would concern you the most is where I'm going.
Yeah, it's tough because Taylor going means you're probably keeping CJ in the offense off.
Yeah.
With him running the football, and it would open up so much even for Anthony Richardson off of the run game because he's rolling. But if Anthony Richardson's rolling, I mean, that could be big plays all over the place. But I think you probably, if I'm D'Amico, I'd probably take my chances to see if Anthony Richardson can continue to make big plays. So for me, if Jonathan Taylor is getting off the way he was getting off against the Texans in that final game, and they continue to move with that, like that because they didn't have Gardner Minshew to work off of that. If Taylor is rolling like that, they've got Anthony Richardson in the run game to work off of that.
Yes.
And so I would say right now Taylor, because I would take my chances that Anthony Richardson could make enough plays more than the mistakes that I think he would make.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. If I phrase it in a way of, if you could pick your poison right now and say the Texans defense is going to stop Anthony Richardson or stop Jonathan Taylor, I'm with you, Ron. I would say Jonathan Taylor immediately. Because, look, there's no doubt Anthony Richardson can make plays. I mean, he can make plays when there's no plays to be made there. The thing with him is, you know, if you get beat by Anthony Richardson, you look up and you go, hey, man, we had the perfect defense called. He was just better. He was athletic. He bought time and made this big throw over the top. And schematically and really personnel-wise, we're fine. He's just that special, right? We had no Christian Harris to corral him when he did, you know, whatever it may be. If Jonathan Taylor is running downhill and making you like it for four quarters, we've got to circle back to these defensive tackles. We got to circle back to these linebackers. We've got a serious conversation needs to be had about this particular defense. I think we've seen some of the best defenses in the game get ate up by Anthony Richardson or Lamar Jackson, the athletic side of those guys, the RPO with the crazy arm. Yeah, just stuff you can't teach. It's off schedule that you could have the perfect play call up for and they hit their head on the goalpost, right? That I can live with. That is, it's difficult to beat. It's difficult to, when they're hot and they're on, it's difficult to catch up with. But if you told me on Monday we had to sit here and talk about Anthony Richardson being a super freak, or we had to talk about Jonathan Allen, super freak, Tyler, I'm talking about an athlete. I mean, you sicko.
She's super freaky.
Yeah, that's where I knew your head was.
Got the artist.
Or Jonathan Taylor going downhill. Then I would pick the super freak.
Yeah. I'd pick Rick James, too.
Yeah?
I'd pick Rick James, too.
Super freaky.
She's super freaky.
Yeah, that's what you said. Give me that wow, ow at the end. Is it ow, wow? What is it?
It's super freaky. Ow.
Whatever. Well, it wasn't that last one.
He didn't roar.
I think the other ones, the other ones were closer to the point. I don't think it was that last one. Yeah. We got a lot to cover here coming up as they will play that first game against the Colts. And Nick Caserio talked a lot about that first game. We'll hear a lot from CJ tomorrow, D'Amico tomorrow, midweek. Stay with us. Brandon Scott will be with us for his Texans report on Wednesday. So a lot happening as a actual game, a real game to focus on, and a lot of different moving parts. They're coming up. Whew. There's somebody in this city that's an athlete that better pick it up, that better start picking up, or they're gonna cause somebody to have to make some decisions. We'll discuss that coming up.
Sit out, damn. So
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Here's Clint Sterner and Blonde Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we keep rolling through here. Big week here in Houston. The Astros are looking to continue to strengthen their playoff case and continue their lead in the AL West as they have a day off, much needed day off, late in the season. These days off can really be helpful as they play Cincinnati, and then obviously it is the first game week, first regular season game for the Houston Texans against the Colts. So those things we've been really, really hitting a lot here all week long. By the way, again, Payne and Pendergast, or Pendergast and Payne, however you want to call it. I believe it's called Payne and Pendergast, but Nick Caserio calls it what he likes.
Pendergast and Payne.
He was on with them for quite a while, over 30 minutes, I believe. You can check that out on the podcast page and listen to that entire interview, as there was a lot there for Texans fans as they covered a wide range of things. But I don't know about y'all, but Justin Verlander, man, he better pick this up. And when I say better pick this up, like, I'm not saying that, you know, like, you know, he's, you know, screwing the team or anything like that. Obviously, I think that the Astros and the Mariners, like, between what those two teams have done of late, it looks very clear that the Astros are going to make it into the postseason, winning the West at the very least.
Justin Verlander.
But when you start to look at Spencer Arrighetti, the rookie who's currently the AL Rookie of the Month, and he seems to be consistently, fellas, throwing double-digit strikeout games like one after another. Then you got Kikuchi, who many of us thought would be problematic.
I love Kikuchi!
When he was traded here, but he has become one of the best starters in the rotation, and had another good outing on Saturday, which led to my hair looking like this. And he has high strikeouts. And so he's been really, really good. You look at Framber Valdez. Hell, he threw 7 no-hit innings in this past game, and that just continues what he's done the last couple of months. And then, you know, Hunter Brown, who has been really, really good, was the AL Pitcher of the Month earlier this season and has continued that in the second half.
Hunter has got
Ronel Blanco slot, has been the most consistent starter all year and had another solid outing in the game on Sunday, which also led to my hair looking the way it looks right now. Justin Verlander, in his three starts, obviously his three starts, he's coming back from injury, but he's clearly looked worse than anybody else. Like, if you just walked in there, and I'm not saying his name and his history doesn't bring in weight, but doesn't carry weight, but you say, hey, man, that guy over there is 42 years old. His last three outings, I mean, he's not been able to eclipse 5 innings. And by the way, he hasn't eclipsed 5 innings in even a couple of starts prior to him going on the IL.
Well, this is not good.
It's been a while. And he has struggled to get guys out. And when you look at him compared to all of the other 5 starters, like, he's clearly the one not producing to the level that they are. I still think season ended today, oh, whoopee, the Royals would be here in a 3-game series against the Astros. I still think he gets one of those 3 starts, Clint. But he better start picking it up, because if it keeps looking like this, he's probably got 4 more starts left. If you look at what they have going the rest of the way, especially if they're going to continue this 6-man rotation, this lessens the amount of starts he would get. He's probably got around 4 more starts left. If it keeps looking like this, that Joe's got it. Joe and Dana and company, they got a hell of a decision to make, because everybody else is pitching like weed to hell. No, you better not leave me off this. I deserve a start. Everybody is pitching like this. Even Ronel Blanco said, I know y'all said that I'll probably be likely to go down, but to hell with that. I'm about to get my second win. He's going to put Joe in a tough spot on what they're going to do.
Yeah, look, Ron, I'm with you, man. I can't look at the Verlander situation this entire year and in the same breath look at what the other guys have doing and are doing right now in terms of getting stronger in a moment where we were worried about Spencer Arrighetti and even maybe Hunter Brown kind of falling off because of the load of a 162-game season. So I'm with you, man. You got 4 games left, and Verlander needs to turn the corner.
4 starts for him, yeah.
Yeah. That's 20. I think I just counted 24 games left, so you're looking at roughly 4 starts for each pitcher, right? I think at the very least, Justin Verlander's next start needs to be a really good one, like a really convincing start to not at the very least put Joe Espada and Dana Brown in a mean predicament.
He's got to be Ver. I mean, at least two of these 4 final starts got to be a quality start. I mean, especially if everybody else start. It'd be a different thing if Spencer Arrighetti was struggling and Ronel was kind of struggling the way he does. Ronel has. These are, like, here down the stretch is probably the worst that Ronel has pitched all season, but it is still significantly better than what Justin's bringing.
Yeah. Oh, that, no. I think he's hell with quality start, Ron. I think and look, a quality start would obviously be the
six innings, three runs or less.
Where I'm going with it, like the box score don't matter. Like to me, we need to see a very convincing dominant, like owning the moment, Justin Verlander in multiple starts of the four that the four maybe five left on this. On this in this regular season, I mean, I think in order to make that an easy decision, in order to make that a decision that in, that you think you'd be making involving Justin Verlander, like he's got to be dominant. Not in every outing, but he's got to show us the ability to be dominant like Verlander has in the past. You can't come into this thing with other guys going the whole season, other guys getting stronger and better as the season goes. And just say a Justin Verlander that has been a shell of himself even before or after the injury, just because he's Justin Verlander, we're going to put him in the starting rotation in critical games over these guys, over some of these guys. Let's be honest, there's four of them.
No.
Right? Because Ronel Blanco is going to be the guy when they go to a five-man rotation. At the end of the day, somebody else is going to have to exit. And I just think it's going to be a tough situation. If Verlander continues to leave any level of doubt out there.
Fellas, he walked the bases loaded to kick off the game.
Well, yeah, if you watch an whole game, Ron, he was like, all over the place.
First time in his career.
Like, whoa. Like.
What the hell?
Yeah, like you said, man, he and the thing is, his greatness.
I mean, he threw us 107 pitches in 4 2/3 innings.
His great, yes. And for somebody who's supposed to be just building up.
Yes.
It's good. His four, like what, three or four starts ago, he threw 57 pitches. He threw 100. I mean, that is tight.
It's not ideal. Like,
and that small period, that's a lot of pitches. But I mean, he kicked the thing off with a walk in the bases loaded, and you could clearly see like he didn't have his great stuff at all or control of everything. Now his greatness and his ability to kind of buckle down and pitch, you know, prevented it from being worse than it could have been.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't. By the way, also that was the Reds. Like you run into good teams withstanding the Kansas City Royals, how they sucked ass this weekend. But if you run into the Twins and the Guardians and the Yankees and the Orioles that can hit, you're not going to load the bases up and just get away with it. Yeah. They're going to be 2-0.
Yeah,
you know, too many times. So yeah, as you said, he's got to pick it up. He's got four starts left. He got at the very least. Two of those got to be six innings, three runs or less.
Well, he'd be doing Joe Espada and Dana Brown. He'd be doing him a huge solid if he just makes it a no-brainer.
He would. Because, Clint, I still think he's going to get a start regardless of what he does.
Yeah, probably so.
Because of the respect they have for Justin Verlander, which...
Sure.
But...
Well, the respect you have for Justin Verlander, and let's be honest, whoever you move to the pen, you're bringing in a piggyback role or in an emergency role to give you three or four innings, you've got a hell of a starting pitcher. To follow him up.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to pick
him up. It's a lot less of a risk when you know you've got a horse in the bullpen that can give you whatever Verlander can.
But I'm not saying he's looking like this because he can pick it up, but there was moments where we're like, hey, man, Zach Greinke, you got to let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to the playoffs, you got to let it go. Or Zach was in there getting you 2 1/3.
Strong 2 1/3. Grunting his way through it, boy.
Grunting, yeah. Grunting his ass off. All right. It's not a surprise, but what does it mean? The depth chart is out, and there's one glaring thing in it for the Texans.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Took a walk out there. Melissa Chase said, because I forget sometimes. I forget that my hair looks like this. And
yeah, especially being so new.
I just go and walk to the restroom or go get filled up water and got, you know, my mid-show snack.
Had someone staring at you.
And I walk past one of these kitchens, and Melissa said, "God, that hair." And I stopped. She said, "It's really not as bad as you were making it out to be." I said, "I didn't make it out to be anything. I just said it was going to look like." She said, "It's really not that bad." And
I think you're making it work, man.
Nah, man, it is. It's just there. All right, I know it's patchy. I know it's.
I'm just telling you, man. It's going.
And Clint, out of the last one of the last breaks, I'm just sitting here. He goes, "I think you got to own it. I think you got to
when you go get edged up, you should have them just like take the sides down to where it's almost gone on the sides and just rock it there on the top."
I think you just normal cut it. Even with some of your normal black hair kind of faded in there, if it's lined up, you may have to re-dye a little bit of that front, right in the front.
No, I'm not re-dying.
You're going to have it for a month, Ron.
I'm not adding extra.
And I actually think the color is tremendous. The color, he's got turtle shell frames on his glasses. The yellow color in his frames matches the hair. I mean, it's tremendous.
I'm considering, because we didn't go down to the roots, so I'm considering just shaving
the roots. Oh, man.
In about a week.
Oh, man.
But I don't want to. I did put a lot into growing and getting it growing out.
I think you should put a fade.
I don't know if there's a difference with the black and the blonde hair, or the black hair or the white hair.
Take a lot of biotin. It'll speed it up.
Take a lot of what?
Vitamin that helps your nails and hair grow faster.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, how long does this take?
I think there's a real chance once you edge it up, you're going to like it.
I think so, too. Oh, it's sharp. No, it's going to look. It's going to look.
We've got to go to an Astros game.
I
want to go to an Astros game with you, and you can't wear your do-rag.
I'm going to my last Astros
game. We're going to a game with that. We're going to a game with that, with Golden Ron.
Go to my last one this year.
We're going to a game with Golden Doodle.
Is that
my boy Ron?
You said about a month. I don't know. That's my thing is I don't know how long this thing.
Oh,
like.
you're gonna grow out the bob though. So you're gonna have this all you as it grows out. You're just gonna have the tips that you were asking for.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna be tremendous.
It looks good. It's gonna look real good.
I'm not a blonde. I mean, I am right now.
I mean, I hate to break it to you, Bud, but you are.
I'm not trying to be.
Oh, it's tremendous. Y'all go to Sports Radio 610 on Twitter. Go to Clint Sterner on Twitter. Go on Twitter. Real Ryan Hughley, by the way. Check out the video. You got to check it out.
Figgy did a solid video, mixed in a little bit of that Cisco. I just looked up here on YouTube, which it is rather bright.
It's tremendous. I'm telling you, you're a good edge up, good lineup across the front, away from really rocking that thing.
Yeah.
Get the beard trimmed up. I can't. Every time I look at you, I can't believe how good the hair matches the frames of the glasses.
Everybody in the view, in the listening audience, knows Hughley, spelled incorrectly, like butchered, did this because he wants to look like Pete Davidson. I think that's his name. That horrible guy that's on Saturday Night Live
that I never understood
why he got the attention because he has no talent. But anyway,
damn, Pete catching a drive-by.
I mean, he got ran over.
If I was going to name somebody that looks the exact opposite of Ron, Pete would be in the mix.
Yeah.
But anyway, he wants to look like him. I think the guy dated the Kardashians or something.
The white guy that looks like he hadn't slept in 42 days.
Why don't you think about your text first before you send it in? Hey, think it through.
There's some other comps out there that are a lot better.
Well, not just that. I mean, it sounds like the guy just had the conversation in his head while typing and just typed it. Just typed in. Now, who is it that got Pete Davidson? He wants to look. Like, I can assure you, this is not what I wanted to do. This was, I did not make this bet in the hopes that, oh, God, yes. I get to go blonde. I wanted to do this.
I hope my team loses four in a row.
Yeah.
I can then dye my hair blonde.
I bet this in the thoughts of four in a row. They're not losing four in a row.
I mean, how many games?
They had that two Cy Young candidates started two of the games.
How many four-game sweeps have there been in Major League Baseball this year? I bet there ain't been a handful of them.
Royals lead the league in sweeps, in sweeping teams.
In sweeping teams. I mean, I bet there ain't been a handful of four-game sweeps. You somehow lost one of them, lost your hair color in one of them.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just, good Lord. Jake's ass had to score one of those runs.
I screwed it up.
That one where it's... The extra, or no, it's the bottom of the ninth. Altuve hit it off the wall. Sorry. Yeah, it's good times, though. Good times. From the text line, look stupid, grow up. Stop listening to the show.
Cosign.
Look stupid, grow up.
We made a bet. We're having fun with it, friend. Sorry you're so grumpy.
Sorry, Parker. I really do. I want that person to go away. We can be number one without him. I'm sorry. I meant that from the bottom of my mouth. Seriously, go away. There's something else you could be listening to, I think. All right. Nick Caserio.
Like Cisco.
Nick Caserio, he spoke with Payne and Pendergast, and he talked about Damian Pierce. And I really enjoyed this because Seth flatly told him right off the bat, he said, listen, I'm going to tell you, like, one of the guys that I'm concerned about is Damian Pierce. I know Seth's been big on the loss of weight that he's had the last couple of years and all of that. He went in and flatly told him that he was concerned about him. This was the response from Nick Caserio.
DP's had a good attitude. He's worked really hard. I think, you know, the weight, I mean, honestly, it's been overblown. I mean, he's got good contact balance. He runs low to the ground. He can break tackles in practice. We're not tackling. We're not bringing anybody to the ground. So you're just looking for do they execute the assignment? Do they have the right technique? So at some point, we're going to need everybody that's on this football team to make a contribution. So whether it's DP, whether it's Cam Akers, whether it's JJ Taylor on the practice squad, we've talked about this. I've talked about this. I mean, I'd say there's a lot of things that DP dealt with last year on a personal level that not too many people were aware of. And I think that's where you see the intersection of we kind of lose sight of sometimes that they're football players, but we're all people. And we care about them as much as men and people as we do what they do on a football field. I would say overall, DP's in a good spot. I think he's going to help our football team this year. We'll take it one day at a time. And whenever the opportunities present themselves, you're looking for people to capitalize. And, you know, we're not going to jump to any conclusions. We're not going to make any decisions. We're ultimately going to do what we feel is best for the football team. So hopefully your fears can subside here and, you know, you can get a good night's sleep now and not have to worry about that.
How you feel, Tyler? Get a good night's sleep. Have you? You know,
I'm still not gonna sleep well. No,
he didn't make you feel better about Damian Pierce.
Nope, still feel pretty up in the air about Damian Pierce, and that's putting it kindly.
Well, I'm less.
I didn't do it, huh?
Ron,
no,
this,
sir.
Look, guys, at this point, this is less about Damian Pierce and more about the Texans. When it's all said and done, I'm through worrying about Damian Pierce. I like the guy, but I'm through worrying about Damian Pierce. This is about the Houston Texans and. I'll be honest with you. I feel better about the running back situation right now.
After hearing Nick.
Well, look. I mean, anytime when somebody asks you, and I don't know exactly how Seth or whoever phrased the question, but when somebody asks you about a player that was once a starter that was on pace to crack 1,000 yards as a running back, was thought to be the next year with the new coaching staff to be the bell cow. In the run game. And within a couple of games, two, three games, however, eight games, however long it was, the run game was awful. And the backup running back who was thought to be a third down back, little scat back, ended up having to take every bit of the running back responsibilities and Damian Pierce on the sideline and was a kick returner at that point in time. Now he comes in, we've seen eight carries this preseason, and the film does not lie. You ask about that guy specifically. If there was a real answer, we would have gotten a very convincing look, guys. We're not worried about Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce is a number two running back on this team. He's going to help us win ball games. He's going to produce. He's going to help us in key situations. He's the thunder to the lightning. He's this, he's that. This is what he brings to the table. But instead, what you heard was Nick Caserio literally list off every running back down to the guy on the practice squad. What you heard was Nick Caserio talk about all the off-the-field issues that he dealt with last year and about how far he's come and how much better he's doing.
Nothing real specific about what
– Nothing
specific. There's not much –
I mean, Nick ain't crazy.
Of a positive note.
No, not look. Nick and D'Amico ain't crazy. There's a reason why they keep leaning into the what he dealt with off the field last year, and all the running backs are going to help people. It's because they can't look as dead in the eye and go, "Look, man, Damian Pierce. What happened last year was a one off. Man, he's got it back right. He's running. We have all the faith in the world in him, not in him as a person, but him running the football and helping us Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts." And so I say all that. I'm not complaining about it, by the way. I know it sounds like I'm bitching and moaning, but I'm not. I say all that to say, I'll be honest, I feel better about the fact that Cam Akers is going to be the one toting the rock on Sunday behind Joe Mixon, that is.
I don't know how to feel, boy. They keep saying glowing. I mean, they keep, like, you know, they have a special, it seems like a special feel for this cat. Now, I know they benched him. It took him a while last year. They benched him last year. I don't know. And then the depth chart comes out, and he's number two, and Cam Akers is the number four back. When the depth chart, unofficial depth chart, comes out today, like, knowing that, that may be something. I don't know. And we'll talk about it more. It is one of the top things that I am interested seeing on Sunday is who is it? Whenever Mixon comes out, who is it? Is it Damian Pierce? Is it Dare Ogunbowale, who's the third back right now listed on the depth chart, or is it Cam Akers, who has been the most productive? I don't
know what's going to happen either, but as it pertains to what we keep hearing, like, I'm going to be honest, D'Amico, the times he's talked about it, it's not real convincing.
Look, I mean, well, you know why it's not real convincing? It's the same reason why you, me, Tyler, anybody listening except for the mega homers, like, there's nothing that has shown us to make you believe that he should be getting carries. There's nothing. There is nothing that has been shown, not just this year, but last year too, when you had to bench him. Nothing's been shown, so that's why it's never going to make you feel better. Never going to make you feel better. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire. Nick Caserio, he does speak and speaks about something in which Clint Sterner feels vindicated. And they picked the captains. We'll let you know all of that here before the season gets started. Some guys getting paid in the league. And A&M is not the only team to drop out of the top 25. We'll give you the latest after the first 2 weeks of college football. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.